Welcome. I'm Leslie Canham.
I'm Mary Gavoni.
I'm Linda Harvey.
I'm Olivia Wan, and together we are the Compliance Divas.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the Compliance Divas podcast. This is Linda Harvey. I'll be serving as your moderator. We bring clarity and simplicity to compliance by navigating regulatory compliance to keep you on course. The Divas are honored to have a special guest with us today. And before I introduce him, I'd like to remind our listeners that any resources we mention during the podcast can be found on our website, thecompliancedivas.com. And as always, you are welcome to submit questions to support@thecompliancedivas.com. Aerosols in the air we breathe in dental settings are a hot topic right now in light of COVID-19. We know that aerosols in dentistry represent a potential route for disease transmission. And the literature bears that out with well-documented cases of the airborne spread of measles, tuberculosis, and SARS-CoV-1 through aerosols. We've always paid close attention to aerosols, as well as droplets, spray, and spatter created during patient care, and as we know, particularly aerosol-generating procedures. For example, just think about the attention given to cleaning and disinfecting the various clinical contact surfaces after each appointment. Remember, the clinical contact surfaces include surfaces that were directly contaminated by the spray and spatter, and not just surfaces that were contacted with gloved hands. But what's different now in this COVID era is that we are focusing on the concepts that Drs. Harrell and Molinari wrote about in the JOTA article back in 2004. That is layering our protections against droplets and aerosols. They reference air filtration in their article as one of these layers. So wow, just think about that for a moment. That was 16 years before SARS-CoV-2 pandemic. So as many of you may have surmised, today our topic is about how to improve the quality of air you are breathing in your practice. And without further ado, it's my pleasure to introduce you to Dr. Donald Cohen. Dr. Cohen has been a licensed practicing dentist in New York State for more than 30 years. He taught at Columbia University School of Dental Science for more than 30 years and was an attending dentist at Columbian Presbyterian Hospital in New York City for over 20 years. Dr. Cohen is past president of the New York State Society of Dentistry for Children and is currently director of compliance for the Health Compliance Team, a national compliance company delivering total on-site compliance solutions and seminars to dental offices. Dr. Cohen is also employed by Health First. So greetings, Dr. Cohen, and welcome to the Compliance Divas podcast.
Thank you, Linda. It's great to be with you people. Really, really great. Thank you so much.
Well, we're glad to have you. And we have lots of questions for you to learn about more about this technology. So Mary, can I ask you to kick us off with our first question to Dr. Don, please?
Absolutely. And I'd like to extend my welcome to Dr. Don as well. So our first question is, what do you think about the inclusion of HEPA filtering devices for air treatment or some of the newer space age technology devices that actually release molecules into the air that kill pathogens?
You know, it's interesting. I've been involved with a couple of webinars recently, fairly well attended. The last one had over 500 attendees. And I happen to have believed that a number of dental offices throughout the country had really expended significant resources toward HEPA filter protection and any other air treatment devices based on the fact that we do understand this is about aerosols. And interestingly enough, we put a poll question out there and 80% of the respondees stated to the positive that they had actually expended resources in their offices, which sort of put me, I thought, in a happier place. We as dentists are really doing the right thing. And when we look at the numbers out there, only 1-2% of the dental teams have actually contracted COVID-19. So whatever between the CDC recommendations and the layering and so on. It's really, really good to hear that. HEPA filters do work, especially based on the size of what they're trying to filter for. But there are some newer devices out there that I think are really, really exciting. One of them actually has studies in place, including listing as a class 2 medical device that will actually kill COVID-19 as well as any of the other pathogens out in the air. So it's, I think these are exciting times for us and really times to make our practices safer. That cover most of it, Mary?
Yes, very good. Very good, Dr. Don.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Specifically, I'm impressed and I'm happy to hear that the majority of dental practices are actively layering their protections. So I think you're right. We're concerned about doing the right thing. Dentistry always has had that philosophy where it's in a part of our culture. And I'm happy to hear that's the direction that everybody's going. But let's take this a little bit deeper, Dr. Don. Olivia, you had a question, didn't you, about HEPA filters?
Yes, thank you, Linda. Dr. Don, we've heard so much about HEPA filters during this pandemic, and we would like to have your thoughts on what are some of the benefits of the active pure technology compared to the standard HEPA filters that we're seeing in dental offices?
So that's a pretty good question, Olivia. So I want you to think of the fact that if you have your basic HEPA filter, it will capture the viruses, the bacteria, the fungi as the pathogens that we're concerned about, but only as air flows through them. So as we know, many of us, I actually have two of those in my house, and the one that I have downstairs, I keep on a fairly high volume. But in the bedroom, I can't do that because it's too noisy. So the reality is it's totally based upon airflow being sucked into it and then trying to capture these various pathogens. So on that side, I mean, I'm glad I did that way back when. This is a year and a half ago. But recently, on learning the difference, say, between the simple catch, and then which HEPA filters do, but then the next level that some of the more advanced HEPA filters came out with, they put a UV light or some form of germicidal situation combined in that same case. And now it was a catch and kill. But again, it was totally based upon you best turn that rheostat, that fan up as high as you can to get the maximum number of air exchanges. So it still was, it was noisy. And then to that level, was it protecting you or just merely trying to get some of the pathogens out of the air? And then lo and behold, as I learned about Active Pure, well, Active Pure operates in a totally different way in that here you are, and you have this cell that's actually converting humidity in the air and oxygen to produce these literally dry hydrogen peroxides, these hydroxyl molecules into the air as a protective bubble. And with that protective bubble now, I'm surrounded by these molecules. And in doing that, it's no longer a matter of how high I turn the fan up, because their typical units that I saw, as a matter of fact, I will tell you, I live with one on my kitchen table because I am that paranoid and that pleased that I can now utilize something that will protect me and surround me with literally a bubble of safety that kills all pathogens in the air. And let's also remember that today it's COVID-19. Tomorrow it could be COVID-21 or 27. But in the meanwhile, we also know there's a whole lot of other heavy-duty pathogens out there. And as far as can they travel in the air, well, a lot of them can. And I'm accused constantly by my team that my favorite organism or pathogen is Candida auris. And Candida auris as a fungi is one of the scarier organisms that we have there. We've been very, very lucky so far that it's been pretty contained. But the reality is we don't have almost any medication that will work against these infections. And they've had situations they just can't kill this organism with their standard germicides and all of the other types of situations. And here they are. And now we finally have something that can put the patient, say in a hospital bed, in a protective bubble. So yes, I am really pleased. And I, as I said, I've got one on my kitchen table.
Thank you for that explanation, Dr. Dawn. We appreciate the details that you've provided us on. One of the things that we've been recommending to our dental practices that we serve is to make sure they complete their COVID-19 hazard assessment. This is part of their OSHA compliance to assess the hazards. And we've encouraged them to list any of the engineering controls on that document to show what they are doing to make it a safer place to work. So whether they're using HEPA filtration or the Active Pure technology, we want to capture that information on these hazard assessments because we see that when dental practices are audited, OSHA wants to look at those assessments. So it's very important to give this some of our time. And we know dental practices are very busy. But thank you for that information, Dr. Dawn.
Thank you.
One of the things that particularly struck me about your response, Dr. Dawn, is the hardiness of some of these pathogens that you mentioned. And it reminded me of the four levels of or the categories that the CDC and the SIG group, the interagency group, I forget, the SARS-CoV-2 interagency group that the CDC is part of, the SIG group. And right now, the Delta and its variants are in the third highest level. And the only next highest level is the variants of high consequence when you're describing, and it sort of reminded me of when you were describing some of the pathogens that are very hardy against our current countermeasures. And that's exactly what could happen with, say, the next variation of COVID. It could end up into that variant of high consequences where our preventive measures or medical countermeasures are pretty much, you know, not very effective. So that really was kind of hit home with me. So I really see the value of having this sort of next generation, if that's an appropriate term, of using, you know, active pure technology versus what we've been relying on in the past. Leslie, you have a question for Dr. Dawn, I believe.
Well, it's kind of a loaded question, but I want to know, it all sounds almost too good to be true. Where do I find the proven, I guess you could say, effective scientific information about AccuPure?
So thank you for the loaded question, Leslie. I could count on you for that, I'm sure. The reality is I happen to think it's a great question only because this is how I approached it. I mean, I look at myself as a scientist when I'm thinking about these things, and my first and most important phrase is prove it. So to that point, there have been numerous clinical studies throughout. University of Texas has a really great one. But the other thing is that the medical guardian device of ActivPure, as I said, is actually an FDA class 2 medically approved device. The efforts and resources it takes to get that approval and the approval that it specifically kills COVID-19 are wildly extreme and of course costly. So to some extent, that put me in a really happy place. And of course, I reached back out to ActivPure and I would recommend this to anybody who really wants to read the data That data is available, numerous studies. But I think the most interesting facts on this are, one, this is currently sitting on our space station and has been for a while. And as we tend to know, that'd be a really lousy place to catch a cold. So, and if they did, one would tend to think that everybody on that craft is going to wind up with a cold. So I think that was one of the reasons why NASA adapted to having this on the space station, and they've given it the NASA Hall of Fame sticker, whatever that means, I don't know. More importantly to me is that right now, these devices are sitting in every single Cleveland Clinic OR because they've recognized the need to make them the safest place going, especially if you think about a dental visit has its exposure, but how about a surgical visit where you're actually, you know, working on somebody's abdomen or chest open? So to that tune, those are the kinds of things that sort of make me much, much more comfortable. And I, you know, it was the place that sort of converted me. I'm not too easy to convert on technology. It's like, yeah, sure. You want me to pay whatever, and it's going to do how much more than my current HEPA filters. So I hope that answered your loaded question, Leslie.
And I did have just a quick, I guess you could say comment, that I understood that ActivePure not only addresses aerosol transmission, but also reduces the droplets. So on surfaces, is there an effect of reducing the amount of flora that's on surfaces as well?
Yes, there have been some studies on that as well. But let's all remember, and this is really crucial, that according to the CDC, we still have to do our layering. And that first layering is, one, the surface has to be clean. And then two, it has to be disinfected, and hopefully with an N-level disinfectant.
Thank you.
That's a very good explanation, Dr. Don. And I especially like how you share with us where this technology is being used, you know, when you consider NASA and Cleveland Clinic ORs and thinking about surgical procedures. There are so many more general dental practices that are doing surgical procedures, placing implants, more and more root canals, you know, as we know, that's a surgical procedure. So there's so many things that are taking place in a dental setting that having that extra added layer of protection that is actually in a class of its own when you consider that it's an FDA class 2 medical device is something that's pretty significant. So thank you for sharing those facts with us. Olivia, did you have a follow-up question for Dr. Don?
I do. Dr. Don, what if an office or one of our listeners' offices already installed an air purification system? Does that mean they're adequately protected, or would you still recommend that they consider the ActivePure?
So the question is a great question, especially when we think of the fact we do not have unlimited resources. We were all closed for a few months, so income certainly was down. Whole lot of issues in there. But to that point, I don't think you can ever go away from having the safest office. I'm an OSAP board member, and the safest dental visit is still my life in terms of believing. Our company, Health First, is our mission is to save lives. So that's my constant focus. But that's easy and basically cheap talk coming from me. It's not my dental office that you're telling me I got to do something with. Interestingly enough, what they did at ActivePure, they also came up and produced some devices that will actually fit into the HVAC systems. And they're relatively economical. It does require your HVAC guy to help you install it, but they're really, really very efficient. And if you think about it, Now you're back into this game of protecting our teams. And when I say protecting our teams, let's not forget that there's statistics out there that 8 to 10% of our hygienists have left the profession, totally left the profession. And when we ask why, most of that is actually the same as what we hear from nurses today. And that is, I'm done. I don't need this kind of risk. I don't need this exposure. So if you can imagine that you have now created a safer dental office, that you can put your hygienist in a safety bubble, you might even have a chance, one, for higher retention of your team, which we know trained members of our team are the most valuable assets we have. And then to keep their safety, their loyalty, it is the most important thing in the world. And hey, God bless, you may be able to even rejoin yourselves with some of that staff that said, I'm done, I'm too frightened. Suddenly you may be able to bring them back. So yeah, I think there's a huge value in this, even though you have invested significant resources. Also, I was looking at the annual cost for maintaining these devices. The typical device that would cover, say, 500 square feet is only, I don't know, $200 to $250 a year for replacement parts to maintain it. So your annual costs are certainly reasonable, yet I constantly look at the safety angle, being safe. Remember, for most of us, our operatory doors are wide open. People are walking in and out. So you need this continuous effect. And that's what this is, continuous, yet safe enough to constantly breathe. I mean, when we look at things like those big UVC robots that we see going into hospital rooms and ORs, it's great. You close the door and it'll kill anything that can shine its light on. That's cool, but one, it's got to shine its light on it. So if it's underneath something, the answer is no. And the other thing is, that's right, you don't want to be staring at those lights, so you cannot enter into those. Here we are, and we're in other places other than our simple operatories. You're in your lunchroom or your conference room, and remember, this is the air we breathe. The air we breathe has droplets, and it was well brought out. So if it has that, where do they land and how long do they stay in the air? There's all kinds of crazy studies on this. I'm not a good knowledge person on that, but I do know that it's not always on the top surface or even in the air above. So how cool to be able to kill anything and everything, even under our chairs. So yeah, there's good points there without a doubt. I would still invest additional resources in this. And to what I've seen, they are not extravagant, you know, like, okay, now we need another $10,000, $20,000. It's nothing like that at all. That makes sense, Linda?
Yes, that makes perfect sense, Dr. Don. And I think Mary's got a follow-up question to that because you've raised some really important points there.
Thank you, Linda. Dr. Don, you really struck a nerve, so to speak, with me. We just recently did a podcast with Adrian Twigg from Bent Erickson and Associates, and we talked a lot about practices losing staff because they don't have the confidence in the safety of their environment. And so this can not only be the tool to help to create that safe environment, but to increase the confidence of the teams, increase the confidence of patients that we're going above and beyond and really creating this safe environment for oral healthcare. And of course, we've been saying all along that it's only a matter of time before there's another variant, there's another airborne infectious disease that we need to deal with. And so this going forward should be a great way to make sure that we're ready for what comes next. And what we're hearing on the news right now is what's coming next is the variant of the Delta variant, Delta Plus, which is now a variant under investigation. So this is not going to be over once the pandemic is declared over. We're going to continue to need to deal with these things. So I think this is a great technology for practices to consider.
You know, Mary, interesting you bring that up. One of the things, last week, I was at a school board location, and the reality of life is they're very, very concerned on how to protect their children. We have a number of school districts in the United States who have adopted this technology. I was actually in Texas at the time, and they're thinking about adopting this technology. We've all seen studies where the key to safer air is getting more air exchanges. And if you could get the air safe as it is outside, then we're really there. So yeah, totally with you on that. And yes, the resources are there.
Fabulous, fabulous. Leslie, you had a follow-up question, right?
Yes, actually I did, because having worked in the trenches as a dental assistant, I know life can get very busy and many of us don't take the time to maintain our air filters and think about changing the filters. And I think Dr. Dawn had mentioned one time before this podcast that they offer some kind of a on-call or an on-demand or a automatic refill of these filters, so that a very busy dental assistant or dental office manager doesn't have to think about ordering. And then I also just wanted to point out that at this time of year, if a practice was interested in investing in this bubble of protection for their team and boosting confidence and showing this wonderful technology in place for their patients, that there's some kind of a tax credit that they can get. And I was hoping Dr. Dawn could just enlighten me on those two things.
Well, I'm more the scientist than the sales guy, but I do remember at the end of the year, there was always a way to recapture spending and do it tax-free. I think it was a section 179, is it? And I'd rather give the money to investing in my practice than give it to the IRS. So I remembered my accountant would tell me, just make sure you get into that, because you can write off whatever capital equipment you buy within the current year that you bought it, as long as it gets installed in that time. And most of these devices are plugins. So in general, that works really well. And Leslie, you brought up something else. Health First as a company has a piece of software called OnTrack. And OnTrack keeps track of, say, all of your emergency medications that you have in your emergency medical kit. It will do the same for reading biological testing results, water testing results, and so on. But the other side of that is it has something called a time-based refill, where we can make sure that we provide you with the proper replacements. Say there is an actual HEPA filter in most of these active pure devices. So those will be replaced at that 6-month interval without you having to worry about it. You'll be notified, you know, in a timely fashion. Likewise, the same thing at the active cell. That's something that Health First has always been involved in, and we continue to do that. Again, that's our mission. Our mission is to basically save lives. And it can be the pads and batteries on your AED, or it could be the meds in your emergency med kit. That's what we've always done. And of course, if we have a device that needs replacement parts, everybody's so busy, this way there's no question of forgetting. So thank you on that, Leslie.
And thank you for making it easier for dental teams to be able to provide this great level of care without having to be thinking of every little detail. They're busy enough. So great. Thanks so much, Dr. Dawn.
Thank you.
Leslie, thank you for that great follow-up question. And Dr. Don, it has been such a pleasure having you on this podcast. I have learned quite a bit about the Active Pure technology, and I'm looking at it from the perspective like this is the next generation of air purification for us. And it just makes so much sense when you think about the layering of our precautions. You tie it into transmission-based precautions from the CDC, as well as the CDC hierarchy of controls. And I'm so thrilled to learn that the majority of dental practices are addressing it. And now hopefully they will begin to address that next level of protection by looking at Active Pure technology and just continue to being the safest practice for the safest visit ever. I'd like to thank our listeners for joining us today. Any of the resources that we mentioned can be found on the ComplianceDivas.com website. And any questions are always welcome at support@thecompliancedivas.com. We bring clarity and simplicity to compliance by navigating regulatory compliance to keep you on track. We'll see you at the next episode.